Welcome to Walk in the Spirit, an expository teaching of God's Word. Walk in the Spirit is the audio outreach ministry of Pocatello Baptist Church. It is our prayer and desire that with the help of this message, we all will learn to walk in the Spirit.
So we'll turn your Bibles again to 1 Kings chapter 19. I want to talk on the title of Remembering When. Remember When. Chapter 19, you hear the story about how Elijah ran under the juniper tree, stayed there because Jezebel wanted his life. And I thought about this, and I thought about myself and my wife and the things we went through before we got saved. And it made me realize there's a lot of things we need to remember anytime we find ourselves under a juniper tree. So I want to read this again, and I'm going to go through, okay? It says in verse number 1, and Ahab told Jezebel all about Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow, by this time. And when he had saw, he arose, and he went for his life, and came in Beersheba, and belonging to Judea, and left the servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is not enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as they lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water on his head. And he did eat and drink, and he lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what dost thou hear, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel, and forsaken thy covenant, and throw down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only, left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by a great strong wind, and rent the mountains, and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord, he was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in an earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Again, I want to talk about the topic of remembering when. 2 years ago, we were going to a different church in Montana. You know, God showed us to go to this church. I've only been 3 churches since I've been saved my whole life. I've only been saved 7 years. And I went to this church, and the pastor, I loved the pastor. I enjoyed the people. He wanted me to start a Sunday school class. So, you know, we did it. And the Lord was awesome, man. He took the class from 5 kids to 10 kids. And then later on that year, we had 35, and we had 40. We were thriving. I call that thriving for little kids to come and want to hear God's word and play games and have fun. And I remember sitting in this class and just thanking God every day. I said, Lord, you know what? I thank you that you brought these kids to church. I thank you that you brought us to this church that we could grow and we could learn to love one another and the fellowship. And there was this kid, right? This 25-year-old kid named Cody. And he got saved, and I started hanging out with him, and he started coming over to my house. I even stayed until 3 in the morning, and he loved the Lord. And man, if I had the joy that this kid had at 25 when he got saved, and he was so happy, so energetic. I remember that after that, Cody's like, hey, man, you should start the bus ministry. So I talked to the pastor. I said, hey, let's start the bus ministry. So we took the bus ministry. We started doing things, filling up the bus and doing our Sunday school. And then my wife was involved in music. And at this point, man, we felt great because, you know, we were seeing people get saved and we were excited. And I remember sitting in this church, and I was thanking God every day. I said, Lord, I thank you, thank you, thank you that this is where you put me. And I remember Cody asking this young lady in church, you know, they've been dating for after a year, and he asked her to marry her, and she said yes. I remember getting a text at 2 in the morning and him coming to my house, and it's 3, and I'm like, dude, I got to go to work, man. I'm grown. I got kids. And he's like, well, I just want to talk to you. I'm excited. We stayed up all it was like, 4 o'clock in the morning, we're up, and I'm like, I can't call off. I'll be wrong. So I go to work like a zombie. I call him and I'm like, you got to stay late with me. Now that I'm off, you're staying late because you have to work tomorrow. And it was just a good time. He got, you know, he got married. I had to work during his marriage. But at that night, when he had the reception, we went. He hugged me and said, I love you. And I just remember at that point in time in my life, I'm like, Lord, if this is how the ministry is going to be, I want to be a part of it the rest of my life. So, you know, a couple days later, we have church again because he got married on Friday, so it's that Sunday. I go up to Cody because he was my golf buddy. He was the one who taught me to just play and not, you know, don't get mad, just hit the ball. Brother Rich knows how that is. I'm terrible. But it was an exciting time, and I was like, hey, we should go after church today. He goes, I can't, you know. I said, okay, well, we want to go Monday. And then he looked at me and said, okay, and he's so goofy, man, and I love this guy. And so Monday morning comes around, I call him, and he doesn't pick up. His wife does. And at that point in time, we had some church services that we had to go to for kids. That night, he didn't call. Got kind of worried, you know. I got kind of, hey, man, Cody, where you at? You just got married. What are you doing missing? 3 days later, he hasn't shown up. 4 days later, he didn't show up. I started a search party. I started calling because he liked the race. You know, he's one of those guys who like cars. He had an old soul for a young kid, you know. He broke my garage door open, too. Anyway, that's a different story. So he goes and we started a search party for him, and his wife said he went to Washington. I remember staying up at night, and I'm like, Lord, I said, I don't know what you're doing. I don't get it. I said, everything's going great. I said, everything is renewed. I said, we feel at peace here. Why is this happening now? On our anniversary, the 12th of July. Is that right? 12th of July? You better remember that date, guys. Anyway, 12th of July, I'm sitting at a Best Buy. We still don't know anything. I get a call from Brother Brad, and he's like, hey, man, I got to tell you something. He's like, they found Cody. His body was over a cliff. He was dead. Man, my life turned upside down. I was my best friend. Our church went through a struggling time. You know, we saw, instead of being a place of refuge that the Bible calls it, that you come together and you mourn together and you talk together and you go through things together, it became totally different. It became segregated. We started splitting. Come to find out, his wife killed him. So I remember staying in church. I remember sitting in the front row and saying, Pastor, you know, this is a time that we should be mourning together. This is a time that we should come together and ask God to help us so that we don't miss out on what he's trying to teach us. Yes, it's devastating. Yes, I lost my best friend. Yes, his mom is here crying. But I said, we should stay together. We should sit here as a body and pray. Instead of that, we separated. I remember I didn't stop, but I remember my kids' class went from 30 to 15. From 15 to 5, the church was packed like this, and then half of the people left, and half of the people stopped caring, half of the people stopped coming, they stopped praying, they stopped going on visiting, the bus ministry stopped. I was so lost in my life for about 5 months that I didn't know what to do. I'm like, Lord, you put us here to do a ministry, you put us here to help kids, you put us here for my family, and then why are we going through this now? And it was on February 14th. That's Valentine's Day, right? February 14th. God didn't send me an angel. He sent me a little bald-head preacher guy. He took me and my wife out. I remember sitting at the table. I remember sitting there staring at him, looking at my wife, and I said to him, I feel lost. I was like, Lord, I said, Pastor, I feel lost. And he said two things to me. He said two things to me that I remember until today. And every time I go through something hard today, I think about these two things. He said, you have to remember when God used you. And it made me realize the story that I was reading about Elijah. Because he's running from Jezebel and he's going under a tree and he wants to give up his life. And he's like, Lord, I just want to die. And God sends him to a mountain and he hears a still small voice. And yet he didn't remember the things he did the chapter before. We see it in chapters, but to him it was probably like a couple years before that God used him. And losing my friend, losing my best friend was a tragedy. The hardest thing I had to do in my life was to lose my best friend like that. And as the pastor stood there staring at me and my wife, and he said, and I'm staring crying, I said, I feel so lost. He said, well, you have to remember when, Eddie, that God used you. Remember when he led you to Christ, right? Remember when you came to church the first time and you heard the word being preached and you're like, I could learn from that and I could move on and I could apply it to my life and I could read the Bible and I could pray and I could be around people who love the Lord. He says, remember that. I want you guys to do this. 2015 is hard. I don't know what you're going through. I can't imagine half the stuff you guys are going through because I have my own problems. But I want you guys to know this. It's happened in the Bible. It's happened in 2005, 2006, 99, 87, 67. And hey, we still have to remember that God is, remember what God used us for. May it be little minor, or you might think it be minutia or small, but God used you for something. If you'll turn your Bibles with me to 1 Kings chapter 17. Verse 1. While we know that Elijah was under, if you ever watched the movie before and you watched the good ones, they always show the ending last. They always show the ending at the beginning. But you don't know what happened in between, right? I just showed you why he ran. I just showed you that he was under a tree and he wanted to die and he wasn't excited and he was depressed. He was like, Lord, I'm the only one left. But if you read this story from that point on, that you'll know that God used this man to do great things. If you go to 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, it says, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these 3 years, but according to my word. God used Elijah to stop the rain. If you would remember that, I can't say I haven't been in this position, but if you remember that God used him to stop the rain in that land, I wonder if his perspective would have been different. Yes, I lost my friend. Yes, you probably don't have a job. Yes, you probably are going through a hard time in your life where your mom and dad aren't speaking or you're having trouble in school. But if you remember this, if you remember the first time that God did something for you that was great and you think on that, I bet you we won't be sitting under our own juniper tree. Because if you thank God for what he's did for you in the beginning, like Pastor told me, he'll get you through when you're in this position. It'll get you through the time where you're sitting and you feel lost, or you feel like you're not being used of God anymore, or you feel like, oh man, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't move on. If you do this, if you remember the first time that God used you here, the rest of it will be easier to get through. And if you'll turn your Bibles to me, to 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 10 and 14. Verse 10 and 14, I'm going to read this to you. And it said, so he arose and went to, 10 to 14. And he arose and went to a word I can't pronounce. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I might drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathered 2 sticks that I may go, dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after that, for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. So she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. She and he and her house did eat many days. It wasn't enough that the dude could stop the rain by just speaking. But yet God used him to bless a family. Hey, remember that time that God used you to bless a family? Yeah, it wasn't drastic. He probably didn't use you to be like, hey, dude, that oil's not going to fail and you'll have gas in your car for a year. It wasn't that extensive, right? But he used you for that one time that somebody's going through a hard time in their life, that you sent them a text and you said, hey, I love you. Hey, I'm praying for you. And then you come back and a couple years later, that person said, hey, you probably didn't know this, but there was a time in my life where I was going through a hard time and you said that you loved me and you prayed for me daily. And I want you to know that it got me through a dark time in my life. Remember that. I wonder if Elijah would remember what he did a chapter ago where he stopped the rain and God used him to provide the meal and the oil for that many days. I don't know how many days is. In the Bible, it could be a year. It could be a month. It could be, well, if we look, the rain didn't come back until 3 years. So it was 3 years. He says until the rain comes back. If you remember that one time in your life when you're sitting in a place just like I was 2 years ago and you feel lost. Remember the time that God used you to bless somebody else. Maybe you gave him $5 for gas. Hey, maybe you gave him a ride to their class or you even sent them a Snapchat of your face because they feel alone. Talking modern terms here. Because they didn't have Snapchat back then. They probably had stones they threw. But anyway, so I'm just talking modern here. Remember that time that God used you. Because it's going to be, when I was going through this and God, and I was praying about this for a month because Pastor told me a long time ago that he's going to have surgery. God only helps me talk about the things that I went through because it helps me. There's a time here when we first got here, I was like, Lord, I don't know what you have for me and my wife in Pocatello. We took a chance. We sold everything. We came to Pocatello. We looked at two churches. We came to one, which is this one, and we stayed. And every day of my life, I'm thanking the Lord again. Lord, I thank you. But if you have another lesson like you did like Cody, I don't know if I could be ready. But I know, and I can still remember Pastor Ed's face. Little bald head guy, looks like an elf. I love the guy to death. He looked at me and said, remember when God used you. And I want you guys to know this. There are going to be difficulties in your life because the Bible doesn't guarantee us happiness on the earth. There's going to be times in your life where you're going to feel like you're alone. And I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a time in your life where you're going to cry in your room by yourself and nobody's going to know it. But the God of the universe, the God that created man, the God that breathed in life into existence loves you. And he used you to help somebody else. And he used you to be a friend to somebody else. And he used you, even if it was a smile, to smile at somebody. And they're going to remember that time, maybe 5 years, 5, 6 years from now, and thank God that, hey, thank you for sending me that person. Lord, thank you for sending me my wife. Lord, thank you for sending me a church that we can still preach God's word and not be persecuted. Lord, thank you for the Sunday school classes that Brother Ronk is preaching or the other teachers teaching our kids that they have a place to go and they have a place to hear God's word. We'll remember those things when we go through a hard time again because I learned my lesson the first time. It was a tragedy. I think about it every day. I think about my best friend every day. It was a tragedy. But I thank God that he taught me these lessons up front because now I can't say I'm ready, but I'm prepared if it happens again. If you turn your Bible, well, don't turn your Bible, it's the same chapter. If you go to verse 32. So not only did Elijah stop the rain, not only did God use him to provide the meal and the oil for many days, but this one kind of got me. And why I put verse 32 blows my mind. Okay. All right. All right. And it says here, and it came, verse 17, it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom, carried him up to a loft where he abode, laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I have sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child 3 times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. And the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into a house, delivered him unto his mother. Elijah said, "See, thy son liveth." I can't speak because we're all men, we all fail, but it blows my mind that he did all this, and yet he's still ending under a juniper tree. And I think about myself and how he saved my life. He saved my life, and he gave me a chance to go to heaven. And he sent his son Jesus to die for me. And he sent his son Jesus to suffer on that cross for my sin, for your sin, for those that even don't believe that, you know, that Christ loves you and he died for you. And that when he hung on the cross, he thought of me, he thought of you, he thought of you. And yet, remember, that's the greatest thing God has ever done for man, is when he sent his own son, his own precious son, to die on the cross for our sin. And yet we always forget. We always forget because paying off our debt's more important. We always forget because, hey, I don't have enough money to do this. I can tell you right now, and I can raise my hand, that I've been in that position many times. And my wife has to remind me, you have to pray to God. Because there's this one black preacher always said, he's got you. And he'll take care of you. And he'll put you in a position where you need to be. But right now, he has you here. Right now, he had Cody die for a reason. Because after he died, and after we all mourned, and after we had a reception for him, all his friends that weren't saved came to this reception. The church was full. They got to hear the gospel, and people got saved that day. And yeah, it brings tears to my eyes that he had to use him that way. But I thank God for those people that didn't even want to come to church. And it took that extent, because I remember Cody praying and saying, God, I want my friends to be saved. And I just remember these people getting saved. And at that moment, I said, thank you, Lord. Because now his friends are saved. Now they go to church. He had to use the extreme instance, but I'm telling you right now, he made me remember the things he's done for me personally. The things he's done for my family personally. Where we didn't have money and he still blessed us. I couldn't pay for school and somebody paid for my school. Or I needed gas and for some reason my tank was full. Or we tied this last thing and we're like, Lord, man, we don't have money, but we really want to help this ministry out. We get a check in the mail unexpected. Things like that. Minimal things. So little in God's eyes, but he still gives it to you. Like Elijah, man, he started compounding. You went from stopping the rain to making oil and stuff come to life, and then you're going to breathe on it. You're going to lay on a kid. If I lay on a kid, you're dead. Twice. If I lay on you after you're dead, you're not coming back alive. And he laid it on him, breathed on him, and God used him to bring his kid back to life. You'll turn your Bibles. This is a new chapter. Chapter 18, verse 38. I'm going to give you a synopsis of this chapter. So Elijah, God used Elijah to go a little braveheart. He goes up. He goes to Ahab. He says, Ahab, hey, here's what I want you to do. I want you to grab everybody that is a Baal worshiper in the hedges in the grove. I want you to bring them over here, and we're going to see who God is real, which God is real. He says, I want you to build an altar. He says, on this altar, I want you to take a cow. He says, no fire. I'm going to take an animal with no fire. And he says, I want you to call your God. And I said, I want you to bring the fire down from heaven. And he said, the one who could bring the fire down from heaven, he says, that's God. He says, I'll proclaim him to be God. So the whole chapter, I'm reading this and it's blowing my mind that he was part of this. So Elijah got a little bold, right? So Elijah says, hey man, this ain't, he says, keep cutting yourself. He says, keep asking for your God to do it. They were worshiping God the whole time. They're sitting there and they're praising it from noonday to end and they're cutting themselves. He says, hey, you didn't cut yourself deep enough. Keep doing it. He says, your God's on a journey. He says, no, he's probably talking to somebody. He says, mocking him. And Elijah's sitting there cool, like, dude, you have no idea. You just wasted your time. So he asked the servants, he said, hey, come take this cow, cut it up. And he says, I need you to bring me a barrel of water. He says, not just one barrel, bring another one. Pour it on the altar. He says, hey, not another barrel. He says, bring me a third one. We'll just pour it there. So he poured all this water. And then in verse 38 of 18, and it says here, and then the fire of the Lord. Whoa. We'll go to verse 33. And he put the wood in order, cut the bullock in pieces, laid him on the wood and said, hey, fill four barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And he did it the second time. And he said, hey, do it the third time. And he did it the third time. And the water ran about in the altar. And he filled the trench with water, also with water. And it came to pass at the time that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am a servant, and that I have done all these things in thy word. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, that thou hast turned their hearts back again. Then, this is crazy. So then, the fire of the Lord fell, consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, the stone, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And all the people saw, and they fell on their faces. And they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Balaam, let them not one of them escape. And they took them. Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So not only that, so we hear, this is fire from heaven. It's not only the Elijah. God used Elijah to stop the rain by just speaking it. Not only did God use Elijah to bring meal and oil for many days for these two people that really needed it. Not only did God use Elijah to do that, God used Elijah to bring a boy back to life. And now finally we hear here that he saw heaven. He did two things here. So you see, the first thing he did was he used Elijah. God, he said, bring down the fire. He proved that he was God. He didn't have to do that because he's God, but he proved. Fire from heaven. And then God used Elijah to speak rain back into existence from 3 years. If you would have remembered all that, I highly doubt that Elijah would have been under a juniper tree. Because if you could stand in front of 400 people, and it says, if you read this chapter, there was more than 400 people, but there was a lot of people of Balaam. If you could stand in front of them and you could mock them, and you could sit there and you could stare at them while they're praising their God, why would you run from Jezebel? This brings me to my next point here. You have to remember one thing, that God didn't promise happy times. This earth is dying just like we are. When sin came into the earth is no longer perfect. We're dying. You know the Bible says that your life is like a vapor? Did you know that? It says here, then, there again, gone. Your life is like this. That you don't even know why. And that your life is going to be compared to that dash that you have on your tombstone that says Eddie Colon lived from 1984 to whenever he died. And what I did between that dash is going to be important, because it's going to remember, God's going to be like, did he live for God, or did he do what he wanted to do until he died? You have to remember that God didn't promise happy days. He never once said, hey, if you get saved, there's going to be great times on earth. Never once did God say that. If you turn your Bibles to me at John chapter 16. We're going to go to verse 33. That almost fell off. Wasn't cool. Verse 33, and it says, these things have I spoken, that ye, he says unto you, that in me ye might have peace, in the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He says, you can have peace and know that you're going to go through hard times, but remember that I overcame the world. And that, yes, this time on earth is going to be, I can't say miserable because I have happy times, but it's not perfect. You know, there's a song in the hymn, and me and my wife was looking at this yesterday, and I want to read this to you. It said, God hath not promised, sky's always blue. Flowers shown pathways all our lives through. God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God hath promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, life for the way. He said, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. Remember that this is not happy days. It's going to be hard. It is. You guys know. Some of you are way older than me. Not saying anything bad, but you're born first. And yet the 30 years I've been here on this earth, from the time I got saved, which, and then this is weird, because before I got saved, I thought I was doing pretty good. Everything was great. The time I got saved until now, 7 years later, have been nothing but trials, heartache, some grieving. But yet at the end of the day, I always go to bed and I pray and I thank the Lord for today. You know why? Because I had another day on this earth that I could see my little girls love the Lord and come to Christ. Or I could tell a Mormon about Jesus Christ at work. Or I could tell a sodomite at work that it's wrong to be in sin. But hey, God loves you. Because you want him to have the same opportunity you have. You want him to have the same chance that you have, the same joy that you experienced when you first got saved and you first bowed your head and said, Lord, help me. Save me from this. Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm going to die and go to hell. And he saved your life. And you know that you have peace. Because after I die, whenever I die, I get to go to heaven and see my Savior. I get to go to heaven, guys. See the streets of gold. I'm going to suffer for a little bit. That's fine. I'm not going to suffer like Christ did. I wasn't hung on a cross. I wasn't beat to the point that you couldn't even tell. Blood coming out. Crown of thorns upon his head. I'll suffer a little bit. I got debt, cool. I'll do that. We'll play the game a little bit. I'll pay your debt. Cody's debt, sure. Cody, I hope you're having fun in heaven, because guess what? Taxes are coming up. I'm going to suffer for a little bit. I'm going to tell you something. I can't wait to see my Savior. And I thank God daily that he reminds me daily when I pick up the Word of God and I read it, that he loves me so much. That he loves me so much that he gave me Christ. He gave me eternal life. He loves me so much that I get to tell my mom and dad, hey, mom and dad, I'm sorry for being the son that I was. I apologize for who I was. And they get to see my life now, and it's different. And they ask, Junior, what are you doing? Because my dad's name is, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to church, mom. And I want you to know that I'm praying for you daily that you get saved. And then finally, a year later, they got saved. And my dad got saved. And I could sit here and I could thank God daily. I could thank God daily. Yes, it was hard. Yes, Lord, I grieved. But God, I get to see my mom and dad too when they get to go to heaven. And I just thank God for second chances. And I thank God for the trials that he put us in our life, because it makes us better. So when somebody else goes through the same thing, Brother Cesar, I get to tell them, hey, I've been there. I'm not going to throw a Bible at you, bro, because that's the last thing you need. But I'm going to tell you this. You got to remember what God did for you. Yeah, it's still going to hurt. Yeah, you're still going to cry, but you'll get through it. He didn't promise happy days, but God did. That you have to remember that God is our strength. If you turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. I was smart. I copied and pasted the verses. I should have done it for everything else, but I wanted the animation of turning the pages, right? Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, and it says, and be strong. Oh, wait. And it says, and be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Yes, it's not happy days on earth. Yes, you're going to go through hard times. But God is our strength. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And it says here, they have no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. But with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Our God is so awesome that he knew. Eddie, you're going to go through a hard time. Beverly, Brother Rich, hey, we're going to go through hard times. But he said that he would not. He said he will not. He said he would give you a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. No, he didn't say he was going to take it away. But he said you'll be able to bear it. You'll be able to get by. I thank God that he's my strength. So I remember that daily. If you turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, and it says, get there. It says, come unto me, all ye that are laboring and are heavy laden. And he says, I will give you rest. Thank God for everything that he's done for me. Thank God that he made me remember what he used me for and what he will continue to use me for. I also remember that days on this earth is not pleasant. Yeah, you'll have fun time. It's great to be around people that love the Lord. It's great to sit here and hear pastor preach and to get fed. But it's like after we leave these doors, I feel like it's on. It's on like Donkey Kong, and only the strong survive. But it's not the case, because our God is great. It says right here in Isaiah, you don't have to turn there for the sake. It says Isaiah 41:10, says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. He says, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. To this day, 2 years later, I remember what God used me for. And I want you guys to know this. And this has been on my heart. Because, you know, you ever been bitten by a dog and you don't want to own one because you're scared it's going to bite you again? I didn't want to be in the ministry again. Because I'm like, I don't want it to bite me again. But every Wednesday, I have to go to work. Every Wednesday night, I get to come to church and I get to see these people's lovely face, half of them. And I enjoy them. And I enjoy the jokes they give. And I enjoy reading the Bible to search something that's helped me so I can help them. Because I've been where they're at. 15, 16, 17 years old. I thank God that I get to see my little girls talk about Jesus. When they come home, hey, Dad, guess what I saw? So, Mr. Rose went here, look. And he tell me, and I get excited. Because I didn't have that growing up. Or everybody comes around and we get to sing songs and thank God for everything he's done for us.
Thank you for studying God's Word with us on Walk in the Spirit. To hear more of this or other portions of Scripture, please visit www.PocatelloBaptistChurch.com, or you can write us at 190 West Chapel Road, Pocatello, Idaho, 83201. If you live in or are visiting Southeast Idaho, we would like to have you join us here at Pocatello Baptist Church for any of our services. Our service times begin with Sunday school at 9 a.m., Sunday worship at 10 a.m., and Sunday evening study at 5 p.m. We have a midweek study and prayer service for both adults and youth on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Child care is available for all of our services. For more information or directions, please call us at 208-237-4915. Until next time, God bless you as you walk in the Spirit.